In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel of today tells us the miracle of the Lord healing the paralyzed man. And this man was brought in to the Lord, before the Lord, by his four friends, as we read in the Gospel of Mark. And I think the message of today is about these friends, these four friends. And if even we look back to the Acts, the reading from the Acts, we realize something amazing with the friends of St. Paul and Barnabas. It says, after they had stoned Paul and dragged him out to the city, supposing him to be dead, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. I always read this, I'm like, what happened? He was half dead, he was stoned, and then the next verse says he went up and kept going. So apparently here these friends were pretty strong friends, or they had friends in high places to make this man be able to rise up again and to continue his preaching. I think that because of the effect that friends can have on our lives, they can either make us or break us. I'd like to speak about friendship, and more specifically, the lost art of forming meaningful friendships in our life. Why have we lost the ability to make maybe meaningful friendships in our life? God created man a social being. He created everything for him in the Garden of Eden. He created the skies, the water, the animals, the trees, the fruit. He created everything for him. And then finally he created Adam. And then he looked at Adam and said, something's still missing. You need someone to commune with, someone to relate to. Yes, you have me, but I'm spirit alone, and you are spirit and flesh. So let me create somebody like you. And he created Eve. So God created man to be a social being. He needed to have some friends in this type of and these types of relationships, healthy relationships. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes the dangers of being alone. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if they lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So he says that the value of two, that if one falls, the other can lift him up. And then he ends the verse and says that a threefold cord is not easily broken or not quickly broken. The threefold cord is here, of course, God in the middle of this relationship, which is, great example of marriage. You have the husband, the wife, and God as that third person, that uniting factor. So God created us to be social beings, to have relations with one another, not to be isolated. It's very dangerous for somebody to have no friends and to be by themselves. And I think all of us, maybe at one point in our life, have felt this feeling of being alone and without friends. So why have we lost this art of forming friends or meaningful friendships? So God willing, this will be a two-part sermon, so this week and next week. And these are some of the points that I'll try to touch on in the 2 weeks. We'll talk about the different types of relationships, what friends are, the importance of having friends, what are the greatest threats to our friendships, our true friendships, how to develop these true and real friendships, and what is it that most people want when they seek real friendship? What are some toxic friends that we should be cautioned of? And how can we maybe unfriend someone in case we need to? So we'll talk about half of them today and the other half next week. So what types of relationships are there? We have many types of relationships in terms of our lives. The first and maybe most intimate relation that we have is our familial relationships, those of our close and immediate family. And in these relationships, typically we have no choice, you know, we have no choice what kind of family we are brought into or brought up in. We know each other extremely well, ins and outs. There are no barriers within the family. There are no masks. I don't have to pretend to be anybody at home. I can be who I want to be or who I am without any fears. And maybe God created the family for this purpose, to reveal to us who we really are. If I like to be a giving and charitable person, am I like that with my family? If not, that tells me who I really am. Our immediate families are anchored by a mother and a father, by mom and dad. Happy Father's Day to the fathers, by the way. The family is anchored by both the presence of the mother and father, and it anchors the house and the children amongst this tempestuous sea in this world that we face. Very many temptations, very many things that want to capture our children into the dissipation of sin with them. I'll read you a quote in the regarding the importance of a healthy family from a study done at Exeter University by a guy named John Tripp and Monica Cockett. It says, children from broken families were twice as likely to have problems with emotional and physical health, behavior, and attainment at school. They were also more likely to suffer from low self-esteem and have difficulties in friendships. So children who are brought up in a healthy environment where mom and dad both show them love, where it's not just mom showing love and dad paying the bills, but no, both mom and dad spend time with their children and showing and expressing to them their love. This allows the child, you know, to be more competent socially and also to make friends. So this is the immediate family. They also have the extended family, and we all have many of those extended family members, whether it be cousins, aunts, and uncles, or the like. And with extended family, it's not so much like your intimate family. Extended family, you know, we deal with every once in a while if we live in different cities, and sometimes we like our extended family, sometimes we don't like our extended family, sometimes we see things the same, and oftentimes we don't. So extended families, the degree of closeness between us varies greatly. And there's no obligation in terms of, you know, the intimacy of the extended family. Also, we have what's called real friends. Real friends. And these are the people we most identify with. These are the people that we share similar characteristics with and similar interests. We feel close to them. We feel that they can help support our growth. So these are close friends, or maybe you can think of it like a best friend. And these are the healthy friends that I'm going to be referring to when I'm speaking to this week and next week. Are these real, close, intimate friends that we have? We also have what I call acquaintances. These are just the superficial relationships that we have, whether it be with our coworkers, the people we see in the street, we say hi and bye, the lady we speak to at the grocery store, the gentleman we see at the cash register, our classmates in school. These are our acquaintances. Now, I'll tell you something very important. Each one of us, to every person that we meet in this world, we classify them in the degree of intimacy. And it's up to each and every one of us to classify people according to how I feel. No one can force you to love somebody intimately. So whether mom, dad, aunt, and uncle, whatever, we can't say that because he's your cousin, you have to have a close relationship with him. Although this is very common, but this isn't the case. No one can force us to be friends with anybody. It's up to each and every one of us to put people in their correct category as we feel comfortable. We shouldn't let society dictate that. We shouldn't let our other friends dictate that. So sometimes we allow our friends to pressure us into putting people we're not comfortable with into our close, intimate circle. If this is the case, you need to set your boundaries. We'll talk about that probably next week. So these are the types of relationships. What are friends? What are friends? I'm scared that we lost this ability to tell what real friends are. I think nowadays, you can actually be friends with somebody without even knowing them, without even seeing them, and without even liking them, right? Those of us who are involved in social media know this very well. But this is not the true definition or the true meaning of a true friend and a real friend. The book of Proverbs tells us, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born from adversity. A friend loves at all times. This, I think, we would love to be able to imprint on all of our friends, is that they love at all times. What if our friends, our close friends, were like this, that they loved at all times? What if our close friends, we would feel comfortable with them being completely honest with them, without the fear of rejection, telling them how exactly we feel, without knowing that they are going to gossip behind my back, for example. A friend loves at all times. I think each and every one of us, deep down inside, maybe somewhere, we have this yearning to be transparent, to be who I am. We come home from work and we sit on the couch and we're like, phew, I can take off all of the layers that I put on maybe as I left the house. So we have this desire and this yearning to be transparent. We want our friends to still like us even when we tell them how we feel, even if it may not agree to their liking. So we all desire for these real friends, and these true friends, as the Bible tells us, loves at all times. And then it says, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for those difficult times that we face in our life. A true friend will come and be there for me when I need them. True friends don't abandon us when we really need them. So these are the true friends that I'm referring to. The ones that love at all times. Not, you know, one minute I agree with them and they love me, and the next minute I disagree with them and they're not my friend anymore and they don't want to play with me and whatever it might be, and they don't want to, you know, talk with me and they give me the cold shoulder. All of these things. So what is the importance of having these true and real friends? I'll read you some statistics from a group called Lifeboat. They did what's called a Lifeboat report in 2013 regarding the status of friendship in America. They concluded the following. Only 25% of Americans say they are truly satisfied with their friends. So that means 1 in 4 people say that they're satisfied with their friends. That's an alarming rate. That means 3/4 of the people in America are not satisfied with the friends that they have. It also says that 35% of seniors say they are extremely satisfied with their friendships. By comparison, only 18% of Generation X, which are those between 35 and 49, say they are extremely satisfied. So how is this significant? We see that the seniors, which at their time, when they were growing up, they didn't have all of the media channels that maybe we had. They dealt with each other, you know, face to face. They were 35% satisfied with their relationships. So we see that it's almost cut in half in one generation or two generations. So this is a serious problem, these friendships and how satisfied we are in these friendships. And unfortunately, it's getting worse. Also, they noted, the more close friends people say they have, the more likely they are to be happy. The more close friends I say that I have, and remember we're saying close, real friends, not, you know, just the number of friends that I have on my Facebook or Twitter or whatever it might be, or Instagram. No, the number of close, intimate friends that I have, they say that the more happy they are. So we can conclude maybe from this that happy people are more likely to have close friends. Happy people are most likely to have close friends. So when they were surveyed, they were asked, Would you rather have more friends or deeper friends? Would you rather have more friends or deeper friends? And they said 48% as compared to 28 said they would prefer to have deeper friends than more friends. So people are telling us that half of them would like deeper friendships more than the number of friendships. But I think sometimes the way we carry about our life, we focus more about the quantity of friends, not the quality of friends. Are we replacing the quality for the quantity? So close friends are really the ones that matter. I even read somewhere that we should invest in those close friends more than we do in these superficial acquaintances that we have. Especially in the very busy society that we live in, maybe we'd have some limited time. So we need to invest in the true close friendships, the ones that nourish our growth spiritually, socially, and mentally. So what are the greatest threats to our forming these close and intimate friends? I think the first one is just the sheer busyness of life. The sheer busyness of life. I think most of us can relate to this. Shouldn't be an excuse, by the way, but that's just maybe how it is nowadays. There's an ever-increasing number of responsibilities that's placed upon us. Maybe for a family, with the increase of cost of living, and gas, and all these things, it requires both parents to go to work. Those who are in college, with the ever-increasing, you know, costs of college and fees, requires us to maybe work while we are in college. So we're studying, we're working, and, you know, trying to make friends at the same time. So it makes it difficult. Some of us, unfortunately, we create for ourselves tasks to avoid, you know, having to make friends or to avoid serious relationships. I might work an extra job because I don't like being at home. I might go out with my friends because I don't know how to deal with my young child at home. I might hang out with my friends because I can't stand my wife or my husband. So unfortunately, sometimes we make excuses. And actually, these are not excusable. We need these true and deep and real relationships in our life and these real friends in our life. So don't let the busyness of life take us from forming these close relationships. As we saw in the readings today, if it wasn't for these relationships, maybe this paralytic man would not be healed. Maybe Paul would still be there and he would have been left for dead had his friends not came to his aid. The second reason why I think is the cause or the greatest threat in our society now is the invasion of social media. And I characterize it as being an invasion because it is an invasion. Every other day there's a new app for social media. You know, whether it's like Tumblr or whatever, and this, I feel like they just make up these names. Maybe the person that was making this up as they were washing their clothes. And they just said, okay, let's call this Tumblr. Anything, they just make anything up and make a social network out of it. So there is really an invasion of this social media. And unfortunately, people that get caught up in this, they're more concerned about their online friends or their virtual friends and image more than they are reality. They're more concerned about how I portray myself online than how I really am deep inside. How I really am in the midst of my family. I'll tell you, just this past week, we were with the high schoolers at Six Flags, and these people came up and took, they said, you know, can we take a picture with you? These random people. We, you know, caught off guard, so I said, okay. But then I thought about it. Why do they want to take a picture with somebody, a random person? What is this going to, they don't even know me, they have no relationship with me. And I don't even think because they noticed that we were, you know, priests. Why? So they can post it online. One up the other person, the next person. I got something that you don't have. A picture with these two people, this person that looks like a fool. He's dressed in black and has this beard and just smiling as if he was some nuthead. So we're just trying to one up everybody else. And then we post it on, and what happens? We post it on the online, and then the anticipation. How many people are going to like it? And when we like it, we feel satisfied. Did you know the people who, whenever we post something, our self-esteem goes up a little bit? But then on the contrary, when we read posts, guess what happens? Our self-esteem goes down. So that's why you find the people who are constantly just on, just reading about other people's lives, they themselves, they feel bad about themselves. They feel depressed. Why can't I be like that? In actuality, what is portrayed online is not the reality. It's just what people want to give the impression of. And you know what they want to give the impression of? Of being happy. No one posts really anything, you know, sad unless it's, you know, somebody passed away or whatnot. But everybody's posting things. Everybody's smiling in pictures and happy. They paste, you know, post pictures with their family and their husband and they're laughing and everything. But really, you know, maybe they have problems in their marital life. So people want to show the world that they're happy. But then they forget deep down inside, am I really happy? What am I doing about the reality of the fact? And what am I trying to portray in social media? So I think social media is the biggest thing in our life now that hinders us from forming these true and genuine relationships. We're so caught up with how we look online and how we portray ourselves, and we forego the intimate relationships with one another. Now, don't get me wrong, not all social media is bad and not everything online is bad, but it's like a tool. How do we use the tool? I feel like we've obsessed with the tool more so than the use of the tool. We can use these things to share God's message, but we can also use these things to praise and edify and build, you know, my own ego. So let's not exchange the use of the tool for the worship of the tool. So busyness of life and invasion of social media. Lastly, how do I develop true friendships? How do I develop true friendships? This is a big topic. I'll just mention 2 points. True and real friendships can only be developed face to face. I'll say that again. True and real friendships can only be developed face to face. But Abuna, I know this guy online, he's really good, and I blah, 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 blah. It won't work out. It won't work out. You never met the guy. I had somebody once, this is a true story, and it's not from anybody here in this church, so I'll share it. Somebody came to me and said, sent me an email and said, Abuna, there's this girl coming to church. Her name is Keza Keza Keza. She's American. She doesn't know anything. And I want you to introduce her to the church. Why? I said, because I want to marry her. I was like, okay. And where are you? He's like, yeah, I live in Canada. I was like, all right. And then I talked with this lady, and it turns out that they've never met before. So he's calling me to talk to her about our faith, and he's never even met her. What is this? You know, how can you think that this will actually last? You didn't meet anybody face to face. Has to be face to face in order to develop friendships. Let's see what St. Paul says to the Hebrews. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't, you know, forsake this face-to-face communication. Why are we all here together? To partake of the Eucharist and to be united with one another. Could we somehow make some kind of, you know, virtual church where each one stays in their house, in their room? No, because we all need to partake of the Eucharist. So there is this unity that the church has taught us from its inception. We need face-to-face interaction with each other. And he says that we need this, why? To stir up love and good works. How can I love somebody that I don't see face-to-face or touch? How can I show somebody that I love them if it's just, you know, online? I can say it all I want to, but saying it, for those who are married, knows talk is cheap. I want to see it, right? I'll tell you something that I've noticed from speaking with the children, and it might come as a shock to most, to some of us, that the children today are more dissatisfied with their parents' obsession with their phones and electronics more than the parents are dissatisfied with their children. You guys know that? I get more complaints from the children complaining about their parents always on the computer and always on their phone more than I get from the parents complaining about their children. Believe it or not. Let's set the standard for our household. If we want them to, you know, disassociate with the obsession of these devices, guess what? We have to do the same thing. We have to lead by example. Also, face-to-face friendship requires that there's an emotional aspect of it. There's got to be some physical aspect of it. If it's just all online and all virtual, there's no physical aspect of it. There's no intimate, there's no emotions. You can't see the person, the expression of the patient, the person's face. You can't, distinguish their tone of voice. Even now, I think I read something long ago, actually, that now the number of text messages or time people spend texting one another has exceeded the amount of that they're actually on the phone. So nowadays, people are more content with texting rather than speaking to people, one-on-one. And just, I want to just shoot in here just some etiquette regarding text, okay? Texting should be like, where are you? Do you need something? One-liners, all right? If it has to reach over, 140-something characters, how many characters is it? 144 characters. If it's something over 144 characters, it needs to be either in an email or a phone call. So oftentimes, if I get these really long text messages that require, it's actually a discussion, I'll just pick up the phone and call. We think that it's faster to text, but it's really not. Having a conversation of text messages takes longer than a conversation. You can have a meaningful conversation in 30 seconds to a minute. And then that same conversation done over text might take, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So if we need to talk to somebody, let's pick up the phone and talk with them. The second thing, so we said the first, to build these healthy relationships and healthy friends, we need to be face-to-face. The second is we need to build trust. Trust. And I put up there trust with vulnerabilities. Today, sharing our vulnerabilities is considered as being a sign of weakness. It's weak. You tell me that you're having a problem, what do you mean? I don't have any problems. This is a sign of weakness. But actually, in the book of James, it tells us this. It tells us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So in the early church, it was taught that they should confess to one another. Confession here is not, I like a chocolate cake or I like this type of food. No, it's confessing our weaknesses, making ourselves vulnerable. Of course, you don't want to make yourself vulnerable to everybody, but these real, close, intimate friends who are actually looking out for your growth and edification, these are who I'm referring to. Maybe sometimes, even I find even in marriage life, there's this apprehension of making myself vulnerable. I can't tell my wife that I'm weak or I'm having a problem. I can't tell my husband that, maybe for girls it might be a little bit easier. Maybe for the guys it's difficult. These vulnerabilities, trusting in vulnerabilities. What would it be like if we didn't have to worry about letting our guard down? If we can just be completely honest and open with our friends and tell them, this is how I am and this is the help that I need, without fearing of them making fun of us, laughing, smirking, telling somebody else about it, posting something online about it. How would it be like? How would you feel if you had these kinds of friends? I think it would be much more satisfying than maybe some of the ones we have now. And I'll tell you a nice, you know, saying that I read. It says, we impress people with our strengths, but we connect with them in our weaknesses. We can impress people when I win a game, when I beat a match, when I pass this level and brag about it in a video game or whatever. But how do we connect? It's when I share my weaknesses with others. This is where we connect, because it's serious. It's no longer a joke. It's serious. And typically, strength, when we share our strengths with one another's, it breeds what? Competition, or does it breed community? It breeds competition, right? If I brag about myself, it breeds competition. Many of us and many people will put on their bumper sticker, number one student, valedictorian, the mother honor roll, mother of an honor roll, dad of a mishadif, quarterback of a football team, anything. We want to brag about our strength, but all this does is create competition. But when we share our weaknesses, this is what breeds community. Confess your sins to one another. This is what breeds community. Be willing to make yourself vulnerable to those close friends, knowing that they can help you, or they should help you. And actually, this idea of trust, Christ exemplified with his disciples. He told them this in John 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So he was completely open with them. He trusted them. He says, I'm not going to hide anything from you. I'm going to tell you. So how do we develop these friends? It's got to be face to face, and there's got to be an element of trust. And trust is, you know, epitomized in times of vulnerability. So just to recap what we spoke with about today, we talked about the different types of relationships. We spoke about what are true and real friends, what are the importance of friends, next about what was the greatest threat to our friendships, being the busyness of life and social media. And lastly, we spoke about how do I develop true friendships. And we said that was by face-to-face communication and by trust. Next week, God willing, we'll speak about what is it that most people desire in friends. What are some toxic friends? Whether I look at myself and say, am I a toxic friend? Or whether I maybe set a filter for the friends that I have? What are those toxic friendships? And lastly, how do I unfriend somebody? How do I maybe separate myself from a friend that I've had or I do have? And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.